Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. All great things. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. On this week's show, I have a very special treat for you. Our special guest is none other than Lori Seitz, an expert on client retention strategies and CEO of ZenRabbit. Let me tell you a little bit about Lori. She is a nationally recognized expert in using gratitude to boost client retention and increase referral business. She's the founder of ZenRabbit, which is a concierge-type company specializing in helping business professionals multiply profits through sweet appreciation. What's become known as the gratitude cookie is the main tool used to do that. Now, the company ships customized gratitude cookie packages and other special thank you gift products to customers worldwide, and Lori's reputation for going above and beyond on behalf of her clients is well known. She has more than 20 years' experience in marketing and communications, and immediately prior to launching ZenRabbit, Lori worked as a radio personality in the West Palm Beach and Treasure Coast markets. Lori is the author of a really great special free report called The Little Known Secrets of Gratitude and Reciprocity and How They Can Positively Supercharge Your Profits. And you can get a copy of that report at www.gratitudeprofits.com. She also writes articles for womengrowbusiness.com and posts semi-regularly on her own blog, rabbitrouser.com. So you are in for a real treat, and we are ready to go with my interview with retention expert Lori Seitz. Let's roll the tape.
Lori, thank you very much for making the time to be my special guest expert this month.
Of course. Thank you for having me on the call.
Awesome. So, Lori, let me say my first question. How is client appreciation related to client retention? What's the kind of the link there?
Well, here's the thing. If you think about people working in their jobs, and a lot of people are in corporate America or corporate wherever in the world, and they're sitting there doing their job day in and day out thinking, does anybody even care what I'm doing here? I just do my job, but I don't know if it makes a difference. I don't know what I'm doing here. And then somebody sends them a gift or a card or something that says, thank you, we really appreciate what you do for us. How do you think that would change their whole day, maybe their entire year, if you want to be, I don't even think that's being overly dramatic. But if that person is your client and you have now made their year by saying thank you to them, as something as simple as saying thank you, they're going to stick with you as a client forever. And so,
yeah.
Because you said thank you to them, because you appreciated them, you're now going to retain them as a client. And that is, I mean, that's priceless, because now you don't have to spend as much money. If you're going to have people stay with you as a client longer, you don't have to go out and chase new clients all the time. I mean, of course, you're always going to want to be bringing in new clients, but it's not going to be as urgent, as desperate, that you're constantly having to find new clients, because the clients you have stay with you longer.
And that's something I talk about all the time, how to maximize the profitability of the customer relationships you have now. That was kind of the essence of my book, Stick Like Glue, because, you know, if we simply plug the holes in our bucket, as I say, or plug the holes in our system, we end up keeping customers longer, and customers that stay longer end up spending more and referring more. So that's kind of, I think that should be kind of the, you know, I guess we're past the New Year's resolutions, but that should be like a new renewed focus, I think, for every small business owner is how do I keep my clients longer? Because it does, it takes a lot of time, it costs money, it costs a lot of money to get a new client. And so not maximizing the profitability of your clients, each and every one of them, I think is doing a disservice to your business. And frankly, you're walking away from a ton of money on the table. So I think people get that, but a lot of people don't know how to do that. And that's why I'm so excited about this call. So, you know, let me just tell a quick story. When I went back, let's go back about 4 years to when you and I first met. You know, I was really putting into place my the program, which I explain is called Double My Retention, as I remembered. But when I was trying to, I was putting pen to paper and a lot of thought and talking to people on my team. I said, this is going to be my Keep Them Longer campaign, you know, is the bare bones name for it. And I started looking at, you know, the expense and time that I take to put a new customer into no hassle newsletters. And then I was looking, the average client was staying about 6 months. And I've heard, you know, in a lot of membership programs, people stay 2 to 3, maybe 4 months. So at 6 months, I was already outside the curve, which I felt pretty good about. But for me, as a business owner, I'm like, 6 months, that's nothing. You know, it was really ticking me off. And so I started putting this whole strategy, this multi-step sequence, in how to keep people longer. And one of the things I implemented was doing unannounced special gifts. And I thought long and hard and did a lot of research. And what I figured out is that, you know, food works really well. And that's how we met. Is so I contacted you and we started doing these cookies. And I sent different levels of Lori's packages to the different levels of my membership. And it was one of the steps. It's a key step. But, it, you know, today my average member stays 18 months, which, folks, that's a humongous. I don't even know what the percentage is, but it's humongous. We'll just leave it at that. So.
That's amazing.
So, Lori, don't most people assume that you value their business? I mean, I think it's kind of a leading question because I know the answer. But, you know, for the people that are listening to this or reading the transcript, I think a lot of people, you know, I'll kind of paint with broad brushstrokes here. They think, you know, I've got a good product, we give great service, et cetera, et cetera. My customers know that. And I think they get into a trap, if you will, that they assume people are going to stay because they know they're appreciated. And I got to tell you, in reality, that's not the case. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. There's a statistic out there that says 68% of customers will leave a business not because the business did anything horrendously wrong, didn't treat them badly, but just didn't share their appreciation. The customer doesn't feel that the business appreciates the business doesn't. The company doesn't feel that. Let's say back up. Okay, the customer doesn't feel that the company appreciates their business, and so they'll leave. That's a 68% is a lot. If you have to replace 68% of your clients every year, you're doing a lot of work. So I don't think, and what's that saying, if you assume, think you should ever make assumptions or presume that somebody knows how you feel about them. And, you know, whether that's a personal relationship or a business relationship, you know, as a married person, you don't, you know, say to your spouse, I love you once in the entire length of your marriage or your relationship because I don't know how long that relationship will last then. But it's kind of the same thing in a business relationship. You have to always be telling your clients that you value them, that you appreciate them, that this relationship is important to you. And people get busy, you know, and they forget, and they it's just,
you know,
a
I was just
you have to constantly remind.
Exactly. I'm sorry to step on you. I think we have a slight delay in our line here, but you know, Zig Ziglar says he dates the redhead. He calls his wife the redhead. He courts her. I court the little redhead every single day. And you know what you just said about marriage is true. And I think that, you know what, that really kind of hit home for me because I think a lot of people, Lori, understand that dynamic of a relationship. Yeah, you can't take people for granted. You can't take your spouse for granted. So you got to do things every day, or, you know, if you miss a day, I mean, hopefully several times a week, you got to do things to show appreciation. And so, you know, we meet somebody, we fall in love, we get married, and then we show appreciation, hopefully, for many, many years. But why it's so strange how people that own businesses that will in a sense, court somebody, they'll court a prospective client, they'll become a client, which is kind of like the marriage, but then they just drop it and assume, okay, won that one, let me go get another one, and they kind of completely ignore the relationship they've just gained. That's a really good analogy you just made.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually I don't know where I saw it, but it's a story. And I used to work in ad agency, marketing communications agency, and they are notorious for courting new clients with parties and gifts, and it's a big to-do to court in a new client. And then the story went, so they come in as a client, and they're shown into a different room, and it's bare. There's nothing on the wall. There's a chair, a hard wood chair to sit in. And they say, what happened? Yesterday there were parties here and champagne and lots of food, and now, yes, yesterday you were a prospect. Today, you're a client.
That's so funny. What a great cartoon that would make.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of what happens, and it's sad.
Yeah, so, you know, I think if the people listening to this or reading the transcript were to go look in the mirror and ask themselves, have I done, you know, if I did, hey, Jim, have you done everything you can to show your customers and clients and coaching members, have you done everything you can to show them how much you appreciate them? You know, if I was to do that, you know, the first thing that would probably pop in my head is, well, yeah, because I've done this, this, and this, but in reality, that's I'm delivering what they're expecting, and hopefully I try and go above and beyond. But in reality, you've got to do more than that, you know, to keep somebody for not only to keep them, but, you know, another part of this whole retention strategy is the law of reciprocity, which I absolutely love. So why don't you talk a little bit about the law of reciprocity and how that, you know, once we do things, you know, like gifts or unexpected gifts, which is to help boost retention, one of the reasons it works is the law of reciprocity. Why don't you take a few minutes and talk about that?
Sure. The law of reciprocity actually has to do with subconscious thinking, and it says basically that if somebody does something nice for you, you feel compelled to reciprocate. Especially if the original kindness wasn't expected. Somebody does something unexpectedly nice for you, you feel compelled to do something nice back for that person. And maybe not right away. It's not you did something nice yesterday, so I have to do something nice for you today. But that seed has been planted in your mind, and your subconscious will hold on to that and think, I need to pay that back. I need to pay that back. So you'll constantly be, your mind will be searching for ways to pay back the person who did that kindness for you. So in the case of a business, if you did something nice for somebody, you sent them a card or a gift that said thank you, they're going to constantly be thinking, and again, it's subconscious. It's not something you can control. How can I pay that back? Can I send them a referral? So maybe they're scanning their mind, and when they're going about their day, they're thinking, who can I send to you as a referral? And so it's interesting, but when you know that, you can use it. And I don't think that's unethical. It just is what it is. That's how the subconscious, the mind works. And so if you do something nice for somebody, and that's why, in part, you were talking about your Double My Retention program. People, you do something nice for them, they want to continue doing business with you, and they're looking for opportunities to send you a referral.
All right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout, but on the other side, Lori's going to share even more strategies on how to boost your client retention. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this, "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
And we're back. So let's get right back to our interview with Lori Seitz.
And that's why, in part, you were talking about your Double My Retention program. People, you do something nice for them, they want to continue doing business with you, and they're looking for opportunities to send you a referral.
It's absolutely right. You know, I think the law of reciprocity is very, very powerful. And as you say, it's kind of built in. So here's a couple thoughts that I have on it. Number one, you want to be the first one to give, and you give without expecting anything in return. In other words, you wouldn't send a gift and say, "Really hope you like it. By the way, if you can think of anybody who could benefit from, you know,"
right.
That's not reciprocity. That's called, you know, I don't know what it's called, but
that's called bribery.
That's exactly it. It's bribery. So that's not what that is. But you know. Let me give a couple quick examples. I taught this. I think I taught it in the Mars training program. But you know, going back into the late '60s and '70s, you know, way when airport security was lax, there was Hare Krishnas were all around the airport, and they were, you know, handing out flowers and things like that. Now, what they determined when they first started out is they would just go up to people and ask for money, and people would like not give it, or they'd like walk the other way, and they weren't having any luck. So they then came up with these flowers, and they would like approach you and stick it out and literally like kind of put it in your hand, so it was actually uncomfortable not taking it. And even if you didn't want to give them a donation, once they gave you a flower, they said, "Could you help support us?" And people were compelled to give them a donation, and it worked so well. Now, the other side of the story, which is not often told, is that as people walked away, they would take the flower and put it in the nearest trash can, and then the Hare Krishnas, after the people walked away, they would go over and get it out of the trash can, so they would just recycle it and use it again. It was very effective. So that's kind of, you know, I don't know if that's nefarious or what you would call that, but that is the power of reciprocity explained, I think, in a more simple way. You know, if you were to send somebody a birthday card every year, even somebody that maybe graduated high school with, you haven't seen them in a long time, and you send them a birthday card or maybe a Christmas card or whatever, the next time their birthday rolls around or the holidays rolls around, you're going to be more likely to send them one back, right? And mm-hmm. That is reciprocity explained. You feel compelled to do something in return. And I think in the business world, when you do something nice for a customer, as you say, they're going to feel more like, "I'd like to do something for them. That was so nice." And it is all about being nice. It's about feeling appreciated. And when people feel appreciated, they want to do something in return, which is either spend more money with you or perhaps refer a client.
Right. And when you talk about it, so that it can benefit you directly as a business, and then even on a grander scale, sometimes that act of kindness gets paid back indirectly. So let's say you hold the door for someone, and then that person feels good about what you did for him, so he puts a quarter in a stranger's expired parking meter or whatever. It's kind of like paying it forward, too, in the world.
Yep. You know, let me talk a little bit more about my program, because some people may be thinking, well, I could send a card or something, but you know, I don't want to spend 5 or 10 or 20 or whatever it is dollars, because they go, I've got 100 clients or I've got 1,000 clients, and you're asking me to, what, $10,000, $20,000. The way to think about it, if you always think like, first of all, I think that's kind of poverty mentality. It's thinking about, if I put out this money, you know, it's a zero-sum game. So I'm basically just taking on, say, another $10,000 or $20,000 expense to the business, which is not the case. I mean, in any marketing, if you're going to spend $10,000 or $20,000 on anything in your business, you need to hope to get a return. I mean, even if you hire an employee and it costs you $30,000, you better hope that employee generates a lot more than $30,000. I mean, so it is an investment, okay? You know, what I spend on average for each customer of mine on average through the whole process, and not just with your company, I think is about $40, maybe a little bit less, but it's about $40. And when people go, oh my gosh, I can't spend $40, but the return, when I went from my average customer going from 6 months to 18 months, that is an additional between $1,200 and $1,500 in revenue. And so if I was to – when I tell people this story, they go, oh, my gosh. So I said, look, if you gave me $40 and I gave you $1,240 in return, would that be a good return on your investment, you know? And they go, well, okay, I think so, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that's in reality what happens. So when you do things like this, yes, it is an expense. It's an investment, but it's an expense of the business. But it is one that will pay dividends. So let me get off the money part of it a little bit, because that hangs a lot of people up. Let's talk about, you know, I think a lot of people would acknowledge that it's important, you know, to acknowledge customers' business and how much they appreciate them and things like that. But, you know, entrepreneurs, small business owners, they get busy. Things like that get put on the back burner, and, you know, sometimes like newsletters, you know, there's always fires to be put out, and somehow getting out the newsletter gets pushed on the back burner, as I'm sure a program like this would get pushed on the back burner. Is there a way to make it easier to do something, or, you know, to keep a program like this in place? Or, you know, Lori, how can people kind of make sure that it doesn't get on the back burner, because it is an important part of the business?
Right. Yeah, you hear a lot of people now talking about the importance of gratitude and appreciation, but the missing piece is, how do I actually implement something like this? And so I found the best way for my clients to do it is to incorporate it into part of their marketing strategy. So every smart business has a marketing strategy of what they're going to do throughout the year in terms of marketing. And so this should be incorporated into that, because it is really part, it's a piece of marketing. And so incorporating it into the strategy and creating a system, because anytime you have a system, things get done. And so I like to advise people, and there's different ways that, you know, everybody has a different marketing strategy. So what exactly it's going to look like is going to be different for everyone. But I advise people to create a system that, so that on a regular basis, things are going out, whether it's thank you cards or gift packs of gratitude cookies, whatever it is, that on a monthly basis, things are going out, so that it never gets to the point where it's, somebody sent you a referral 3 months ago, and now it's 3 months later, kind of embarrassing almost to even say something. But if you're on a monthly program, then it never gets to the embarrassing point. And actually, one of the great things that Zen Rabbit does is, if you're on our program, we'll send you reminders. Hey, I haven't heard from you in a couple weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks. Don't you have a list? Don't you have people you want to send to? And a lot of my clients have said, thank you for reminding me, and then it gets done. And just to mention here, too, a lot of people are conditioned to do something in December around the Christmas, Hanukkah holidays, and that's when they send out all their thank yous. But if you think about it, if somebody does something nice for you in April, really, you're going to wait until December to say thank you? I don't like that idea.
No, I don't like that either.
So, and if you're talking about marketing, the point of marketing is to, in part, be distinctive and stand out. So if everyone's sending stuff in December, you're not standing out if you're sending in December. If you're sending in April or June or September, you're the only one probably sending anything, and that makes you stand out and differentiates your business from everybody else out there.
Yeah, and I do think people need reminders, because I think people do get busy. And I actually felt my ears burning when you said that, because I know you regularly send us reminders. And I think we got a pretty good system, but, you know, things do happen and things get busy, and, you know, the reminders are a great idea. So I'm sure I'm not the only client that you have to do that for.
You're not. No.
Okay. So how would someone go about figuring out, you know, the best thing to do, or, you know, to give or show their interest or their thanks? How does somebody go about kind of figuring out? Because it isn't just one thing. It's not a one-time gift, so to speak. How do you go about – where do you start? If somebody's really, you know, digging what we're talking about here, where do they start to put the implement it in their business?
Yeah, well, you touched on it a little bit a few minutes ago. The first thing I would advise somebody to do is to look at what is the lifetime value of a client. How much is a client worth to you? Because once you know that, then you can determine how much you can spend or how much you would want to spend on keeping them as a client. And I'm sure people listening to this have also heard that not every client is of equal value. So you find, you know, make a list of A, Bs, and Cs. The A clients are worth the most, and so probably 20%, let's say, of your clients are going to be in the A group, and maybe 70% are going to be in the B group, and 10% are in the C group, and I won't get into what you might want to do with the C group, but in terms of maybe they're not a good client for you at all. But but you look at the value of those clients, and then you can determine how much it's how much you can spend or would want to spend on them. And so maybe the A group clients get a bigger gift, or you spend more on saying thank you to them. And so you create a program. Maybe they get something every month, something different every month. And the B group clients get something every quarter. Or, you know, you spend $100 on the A group clients, and the B group clients, you only spend $50. But again, it just depends on how much your clients are worth to you. Some businesses, a financial advisor, for example, a client could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars over the lifetime of that relationship, whereas someone who's selling, I don't know, a smaller kind of service, maybe their client
–
lipstick, there you go. maybe that client's only worth $300 over the life of the client. And so you have to look at it and decide. And whether it's something as simple as just sending thank you notes or a plant, something smaller or something large. I know of a company that does a lot of business, high-end clients, and they send iPads.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
I go, wow. So it just shows that even someone like myself, who totally gets this, occasionally is shocked by, oh, that seems like a lot of money. But like you said, someone who is a financial advisor and has a client for 10, 20, 30 years, over the life of that client, you know, like you said, that could be worth $15,000, maybe $20,000. So if you were going to invest in an iPad, which I don't even know what they are, let's just say they're $400, you know, $400 to keep that client happy, or to make that client happier, or to make him feel like that's an incredible gift. And maybe his client doesn't need it, and he gives it to his teenage, you know, son or daughter or wife, and it spins around so much. It's all about giving, you know. It's all about giving to get. And makes me think of our mutual friend Bob Berg, the Go-Giver. You know, when you get into the giving mindset, you know, people get more by giving. So
there
is, you know, and I think that there is you know, so I was thinking about whether to say this or not, but actually when this CD comes out, it'll already have happened. But you're doing something for me. We talked a couple days ago, and you do something really cool, and they're called Money Trees, which is in so I'm letting everybody know, I'm sending Money Trees to all my coaching and mastermind clients. Just as an unexpected thank you, and you know, hope this inspires you, and you know, I wrote up a nice note, and so it's an unexpected gift, and it is a sincere gift, because I just feel blessed and grateful for all the clients I have, but you know, mastermind clients spend a lot of money with me, and so that's what I'm doing for them, and so that is an example. You know, I don't necessarily send money trees to the you know, like my folks on my membership, you know, at like $37 a month. I don't do that, but you know, I do recognize them in other ways. So it really does all depend. I think that's the message that you're saying right now, is you got to figure out what the lifetime value is of your clients, and there are different levels, different groups of clients within a business, I'm pretty sure, for just about any business.
Yeah, right. So, and then I was going to say, then you also, from a marketing standpoint, you have the value of those people who receive your gift telling other people and increasing the likelihood that they will refer, or they'll tell somebody who will go, really? That's so cool. I want to work with this person.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me, there's a commercial running on TV right now. I think it's for a bank or a credit card, or, you know, I think the guy says, everyone likes money. Well, everyone except this baby. And so, I mean, if everyone likes money and you're in a business that ethically allows you to do that, something like that would be a good way to say thank you for a business or for a referral. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, well, some businesses are set up that they pay commissions to referrals or referral partners, and that's okay, because always been done that way. It's set up. It's they already know it's a financial transaction. But there's actually a book. Dan Ariely wrote a book called Predictably Irrational, and he describes himself as a behavioral economist, I think is how he describes what he does. And he looks at how people behave and how it's related to economics. So I guess that makes sense, behavioral economist. But he talked about in that book, Predictably Irrational, something called market norms and social norms. And social norms are categorized as friendly requests that people make of each other, like if somebody asks you to help them move their couch or feed their cats while they're on vacation, that kind of thing. You do it because you want to be nice and help that person out, and you don't necessarily expect them to pay you money to do it. Whereas in market norms, it's a little bit different. It's an exchange that you expect to be paid money for, like you pay rent or you pay a salary to someone. You have a different relationship there. So you're providing consulting services, and they pay you. Now, if you he talks about if you confused the two. So let's say you get invited to a friend's house for dinner, and typically you would bring a bottle of wine or a nice dessert or something like that if you're invited to someone's house. But if you were confused about social norms and market norms, you might make a huge mistake and go to somebody's house if you had landed here from another planet and you didn't know. They feed you know, dinner is served, after dinner, everybody's sitting around the table, and you pull out your wallet and go, that was really good, how much do I owe you? Everybody's kind of like, I'm a little uncomfortable, because that's not what we do in our society. And so it's kind of the same thing, bringing it back to paying somebody for a referral. It's weird. And actually, he goes on to talk about you will get a better return or a better investment of your money. If you were going to spend, if you were going to pay somebody $50 for a referral and you wrote them a check for $50, or you spent $50 on a nice gift, you are better off spending $50 on the gift. The person you're giving it to will feel better about working with you and sending you more referrals because you sent them a gift as opposed to the $50, even though there's that idea, everybody likes money, I'll just give money.
Well,
the gift makes
you know,
a better impression.
Yeah, and the example that you're using, I mean, those two sides of the coin, they're not mutually exclusive. In other words, I do have, like a lot of other companies that have internet, you know, based products, have what's called an affiliate, and affiliates earn a commission. Now, I do have, like any other business, I have some really good affiliates, and I have some that are just on the list and don't do anything. But so when a good affiliate is referring new members to my program, and they you know, it's built into the system, they get an affiliate commission check. One of the things I do, because it's just become so ingrained in, I guess, my mindset, my nature, is I will send handwritten notes or I'll send gifts to some of my better affiliates, even though they're getting paid. So I'm just like, I really appreciate you. Thanks. You're doing great.
I hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend Lori Seitz. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week, and until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody. You take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.